Previously on Dubious Intent.
So, yesterday, I met a girl who runs a battery kiosk down in our local park.
That's
right. She sells sea cells down by the seesaw.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Skull Splitter APA. If you want to taste a beer that tastes vaguely like some kind of food fetish, then you should check out a Skull Splitter. Check us out on the web at skullsplitter.com. Don't forget the UC Special Listener checkout code DI for a splashing discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Skull Splitter free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Daniel. You know, that previously or whatever that you were playing.
Yes.
Was, I believe on Geeky Gay, I was talking about the Seychelles Islands.
Yes.
And I was talking about something about she sells Seychelles, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, so I believe, I feel like I'm famous. Like, I think
so,
that joke
so you're,
came
right, that,
from
that
my...
was, that was made up by Jimmy Bear in our little
I'm fine,
Pride 48,
thank you for asking.
Pride 48 cocktail party that we had tonight. And so you're basically accusing... Jimmy Bear of stealing from your show. Is that what you're trying to say?
He did. He stole, but I feel, you know, he must listen to my show. If
and you stepped all over my line. I don't even get to say.
No, go ahead.
No, it's too late now, Adam. You've already stolen my thunder. Adam, how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
I don't know. Jesus Christ. This is just like,
we've been on a Zoom and I had a little bit of alcohol and I don't really drink all that much because my boyfriend's kind of conservative and, you know, he judges me when I drink and, you know,
judges you how? Like, does he like tapping the foot?
Oh, I mean,
like tapping the foot,
you know,
like dirty looks.
The glasses go to the, you know, to the bottom of the nose. He doesn't wear glasses, but this is what I'm imagining.
So he goes,
you know,
and gets a pair of glasses.
Yes.
Just so that he can put them on the tip of his nose to look down them at you because you have disappointed him mm-hmm. so very much.
Exactly. But we were on a Zoom call and all of you listening, because all of our millions of listeners, if you have never joined a Zoom call mm-hmm. over at Pride 48, we're doing them every month and you can go over to pride48.com. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can look at all that stuff. We'll let you know when the next one's going to be. They're really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have people on a Zoom right now listening to us.
Yeah, there's a Zoom. Well, they're probably not listening to us. Let's be honest. There's porn going in the chat room here. They probably got way better things to talk about over there in the, you know, some of the most exciting things were talked about, Adam, in that chat room this evening at the cocktail party. It was fun. It was just like, you know, kind of being at an actual cocktail party, walking
yeah.
around and listening to different conversations here and there. And then, you know, it was fun. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure most of the exciting stuff happened while I was gone eating.
Yeah, you were gone eating. You missed Gary Bearden singing Happy Birthday. You missed Mike from the podcast was Gayish doing a he has a piano there, so he actually played a song.
Oh.
You missed Fatty, like, trying to make a joke about the song right before Mike started singing. It was great. It was awkward and great. It was fun.
I've been wondering how, so Mike played while Gary sang, is what you're saying.
No, those are two separate events. Mike played and sang, and then Gary later sang Happy Birthday, because, you know, Gary is the official singer of Happy Birthday next to Dora for the Pride 48. But here's the thing, Adam, is Fatty was trying to drum up for these monthly video calls.
Yeah.
He was trying, we're going to do a talent show. We're going to do a talent show where you people can, you know, do all your talent stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking to myself, oh, all right, I could probably sing a song. I could probably, you know, do a little sing. And then Mike played and sang. It's like, there's no fucking way I'm following that. It's like, I'm not going to do that.
You used to have a keyboard that you would pull out occasionally.
I had a harmonica that I'd pull out occasionally. It was, it was just like, but now there's no way. I'm not going there, Adam. I'm not going to go there.
You know, some people know I play the trumpet.
No, you know, and, you never talk about it. You really,
I don't. I mean, I really don't.
Yeah, you sell yourself short there. Yeah.
Some people know that, and but my complaint, it's not really a complaint even, but when you have like a talent show, you know, nobody just goes up to a talent show with a trumpet all by themselves. And they're like, oh, I'm just going to play taps for my talent. I mean, that just doesn't generally happen, right? So, I mean, I've even had like people ask me, oh, play your trumpet on a podcast or whatever, right? And yeah.
I love that you went to taps instead of like Feel So Good, which would be like the song that people would go to for that, right?
I think that's a flugelhorn, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's still, you could play it on a trumpet, and it's not like, literally, it's not like someone's going to, you know what, that's not like, the original flugelhorn version was so much better.
It was probably Chuck Mangione. Well, actually, I believe that's a Chuck Mangione song.
And it is.
He played flugelhorn, is what he played. But
it
anyway,
is a three-valve brass instrument. He plays many of them.
It is, yeah. But he's known for flugelhorn. That is what Chuck Mangione is known for. Anyway, I don't feel comfortable. Like, one time, Mark and I went to one of these Filipino parties.
Yes.
And I don't know if they were having like a talent show or they wanted entertainment or there was something because all these these Filipino parties, they have to have a theme. Like there's got to be, you can't just go to a party. Like you can't just go to a party and be like, oh, I'm going to have fun. We're going to eat food. We're going to talk to each other. We're going to like, you know, do whatever. No.
Is it like a lot of P-pop bands?
P-pop bands.
Yeah, it's Filipino pop. It's like K-pop, but it's just like, yeah, it's over in that area of the woods, the P-pop bands.
No, I don't know, but themes. So it's like, tonight is plaid night. And so then if you don't own plaid, you got to go out and buy some plaid outfit that you're only going to wear once.
You know, podcasting legend Archer would love that because that's like pretty much all he has is plaid stuff.
And, you know, or they'll
Archer
have like,
and a bunch of lesbians and then your Filipino friends.
A pajama night.
Pajama night? Christina, so then, by the way, was wearing her pajamas in the Zoom chat. I don't know why I keep calling back to that. It's like,
and look, I wear a t-shirt with nothing else. That is my pajamas. I'm
t-shirt,
not going to show.
Balls, dick, hanging out.
Yes.
Just t-shirt. Now, why? If you're not, all right. Now I got to know this because I get like, so my boyfriend sleeps in underwear. And I get that, right? We have cats and stuff, and you don't want your junk flopping all around, you know, with the cats thinking it's a toy or whatever, right? right? Plus, we live in Florida, which gets, you know, moist. So I understand him sleeping in underwear. I sleep in a shirt in underwear because I never take off my shirt. But I don't know that I would ever sleep in a shirt with no underwear. Like, if I was going to, you know, go that route and not wear underwear, I just wouldn't wear a shirt either. It's like, I'm going to go naked. I'm going all in. There, Adam. It's like,
well,
why the shirt, but no underwear?
There are lots of reasons. I would need a couch and an hour.
I don't like to talk about it, but I do have a degree in psychology, Adam. So I'm curious. Exactly. Why the shirt with no pants? What's behind that?
Well, I think so. When I was growing up, I always used to wear a t-shirt, like an oversized t-shirt and underwear. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. That's just what I always wore. Okay, I don't know if that's what my mom, I don't know. I have no idea.
I see lots of kids. In fairness, I see lots of kids. That's their bedtime attire. Big shirt.
Also,
underwear.
Unrelated.
Underoos. Yes.
My brother and I had these little fans that my parents bought for us.
Yes.
And this is unrelated, but they would sit a chair by our bed and put these little
fans. They would cheer?
And we would have a fan blow. No, not that kind of fan. Like a fan, like a oscillating, you
right,
know, Dyson,
exactly,
you know, whatever. Yeah. Except Dyson's bladeless. This had blades, you know, et cetera.
One moment, so my fans need to blow me.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I would lay there in my t-shirt and underwear, and I would have a fan blowing on me. And this is another reason why I like to have a fan blowing on me at night, you know, because I grew up that way. Anyway, so that's what I grew up wearing. So as I got older, I thought, well, that's not a very sexy thing to wear to bed. You know, I mean, t-shirt and underwear. I mean, I need to be a little bit sexy or whatever. Plus, I'd always heard that like sleeping naked was comfortable and like, oh, it feels so freeing and everything. And, you know, and I'd always worn like a t-shirt and underwear. Mm-hmm. So I just started trying no underwear. So I just decided, you know, t-shirt and no underwear. I get the feeling of the balls being free and all of that. But I don't get the, I get a little bit of a chill if my shoulders are not covered.
Yeah.
Also, if you're sleeping with a partner,
yes,
and you're skin to skin, that gets very hot.
Yes.
And sweaty, yes, and nasty.
Especially in Florida.
So
yes,
if you, yes, so if you have like a t-shirt on, that cotton t-shirt kind of helps wick any of that sweat and prevent you from feeling like sticky, but you can still feel that feeling of like a nice free ball.
Like the
and then the other thing is, I never go without a shirt, like ever. I just am very self-conscious about my upper body.
Yes.
And I never go without a shirt, like ever, hardly.
Now, is there ever a case that, you know, because you get erections during the night. We all get erections during the night, right? That's just kind of a thing. Do you ever like,
sure,
you know, wake up and snuggle up to mittens there?
No.
No?
No.
No. No, where?
not really.
It's like the look on your face there, like that was just like the most hideous thing that you'd ever heard of. And it's just, no.
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 Those sex has to be planned.
Do you have like planners? Do you have like little books that you bring out? And it's like, all right, how about next Tuesday at 4? Do you have, not good. How about next Wednesday? Oh, no, there's a unicorn themed party that night that we have to go to.
Yeah,
there's several people in the chat room that are agreeing with you on how you sleep here, Adam. And I know for those of you listening to the show, they may have never heard before. You're like, wait, what was this chat room that you're talking about? Well, you know, Adam, every Saturday night right here on Pride 48, we start streaming at 10 PM. This is where we record the show in front of the world's most amazing studio audience, AKA our chat room, listening to us on Pride 48. Adam, who is in the chat room this evening?
Oh, God. Well, it's hard to know with this Discord. Do you want me to read the green dots?
Yeah, read the green dots.
So we have Archer, we have Big Fatty, we have Dr. P, we have Ed Gong, we have fucking Dan on his cell phone, looks like. Mm-hmm. We have Lamont Cranston, Max Zook, Mean Kid. I never liked a Mean Kid, to be honest.
Well, he's there.
I'm sure he's perfectly nice. Mike John Left, Mr. Mike Nowhere Chrissy, Oscar, who's apparently in New Jersey, PDX Michael, mm-hmm, RT Cruiser, Scotty Battler, mm-hmm, T and Chris, WTE Greg. We had a few others, but they had little moons by their name, so I didn't read them. So.
Right. But, you know, they were there, and a lot of the people that are there, and they're still carrying on with that chat room over there. They're listening to the chat room.
They're vaguely paying attention.
Oh, look, yeah. And someone just sent us a screenshot from inside the chat room, and it looks like fucking Dan is playing porn behind him on his green screen. There. Yeah,
he's such a shill for that gayish podcast.
Yeah,
I mean the whole you know first hour and a half of our Zoom call, and Dan's got the gayish logo behind him. Like everyone, go over and download gayish. You know,
yes, he was like one of those really annoying social people and everything. And he got lubed up and he just slid it right in. That reference to gayish there, just slid it right in there with the old social lubricationizer.
So I feel like I've been...
Someone's also posting porn in the chat room, which is that's
very
a very
distracting.
Nice one, Ed Gong.
That is photoshopped for sure, but it's very distracting. I mean, that would be on a horse.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's not photoshopped. I don't even think that's real. I think that's a painting. I think that's like a...
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that's like a...
Did Tim paint that? Tim in Alaska
painted that. By the way, have you been listening to Tim in Alaska's quarantine karaoke, Adam?
I've seen a couple of them. Yeah.
I love his commitment to the costumes. Yeah, he doesn't just you know, carry like, hey, I'm gonna post this karaoke video because I want to make people, you know, smile or whatever. No, he goes like all in on it. He's got like props and costumes, and he changes it. He must have like 1,000 pairs of glasses because just like every pair of glasses has got to match his outfit and everything. So yeah, Tim in Alaska, the Donna Reed of Alaska, now singing karaoke songs on the Facebook.
Well, I don't know if you know this about Tim, but he's very wealthy.
Yes.
And he lives in a palatial estate, mm-hmm, in Alaska. Mm-hmm. But now they have a kind of a summer home, if you will.
Yes.
You know, in San Francisco.
Yes.
In like the best area of San Francisco.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, the wealthy only go to the best areas. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Tim is always like going down to his wine cellar to get the 19. I have no idea what a good age of wine would be. A 1937 Mont Blanc. Is that a wine? I don't know. I'm just making things up now.
Sure.
You know, and he's posting photos of the sourdough that he's making and like, uh-huh, you know, and now he's doing karaoke. I mean, he is like a Renaissance man.
He is.
This guy.
He's a Renaissance man. Just, you know, 150 years after the Renaissance. I don't know.
Before, a Renaissance man is a thing.
Okay. Sure.
You know, so I know we've been kind of going, you know, we haven't been very topic specific.
We have no topics. Yeah, we're not very topic specific.
But what I, yes. but I do yes. want, because I stopped talking about something.
Yes.
Earlier.
Oh.
And I didn't, because we're like, hey, we could use that for show content.
Yes, we could.
And I don't want to displease anyone, so I'm right. going to continue this.
So for those of you who don't know, pre-show, Adam was speaking about all the meals that he ate this week, and he's going to continue with that and go ahead and tell us
I
think you were up to Tuesday. So
No.
on
that's
Wednesday.
That's only for Dan. So see, I fucking Dan thinks all I talk about on my personal show is the food that I eat. So I'm going to record a personal podcast just for him.
That would be...
every day. And I'm going to send that to him. And I'll be like, here's what I had today. And no, that's not what I'm talking about. So Scotty in the chat room was disparaging my knowledge of custard. And I just want to say, I don't know if anyone knows this, but I lived in England.
Gullo. Oh. It's archipelago.
Oh.
So it's Lugo instead of Gullo. Lugo.
You know, I don't listen to your podcast.
We
can just
slow it down.
Yes.
Lugo. Archipelago.
Archipelago.
One more time.
Archipelago.
Are you teaching them like vocabulary or something? It's like and now it's time for Adam's word of the day. Today's word is archipelago.
I'll explain that.
Can you use that in a sentence, please?
I'm going to say it wrong. An archipelago is a smattering of islands. Kind of in a group,
that's more of a definition than a sentence, but thank you.
That was a sentence though. Okay. I mean, was it not a sentence? I'm going to go to the archipelago of Philippines. Okay. See, here, no,
there you go. Thank you.
I have to finish custard.
Okay.
So
yes.
Custard, first of all, is it's a cream based vanilla dessert.
Yes.
And it can come in various forms. Mm-hmm. It could come in like a more creamy pouring viscosity form where you pour it over like a chocolate cake or something like that.
Yes.
Or any of those desserts like flan or creme brulee. Those are all types of custard that are at various degrees of thickness or viscosity.
So is a pudding, like not the UK pudding, which is disgusting. I'm like pudding, like what we would know as being pudding,
yeah.
Like, you know, vanilla pudding, chocolate pudding,
yes.
Strawberry
vanilla,
pudding.
Vanilla pudding is definitely custard.
Okay.
So it's basically egg, cream, vanilla, etc.
Sounds like ice cream to me.
Mixed together.
Oh, I guess sometimes ice cream is custard too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I know what custard is. Anyway, but what I was going to say is one of my favorite things to do when I lived in England, when we didn't have time to like make a fancy dessert or anything like that, is in England they sell cans of custard, but they also sell canned chocolate cake. It's the weirdest thing. So what we would do, my ex and I, Nathan, we would buy
cake in a can.
Yeah, chocolate cake in a can. I mean, it's the craziest thing. You'd have to ask a British person. I don't know. So we would buy a chocolate cake in a can, and we would buy custard in a can, and we would, you know, plop the chocolate cake out on a plate, heat it up in the microwave or whatever.
Yes.
Heat the custard up in the microwave, pour the custard over the top of it. It was a delicious, quick meal, a dessert.
Now, did you take the chocolate cake out of the can before you heat it in the microwave? Because that doesn't sound very safe to put the can in the microwave.
You have to take it out. I feel like what they probably do, have you ever heard of those, the breads that you can make in a can? Like, I don't remember what, like a banana bread or... You know, I don't know what it is, but there's a recipe that you can find in various places.
Bread in a can.
Where you put the...
I've seen like brown bread that comes in a can.
Yeah. And you like put it in the oven in a can. You like take one of your leftover cans and you... I mean, it's like that. So I feel like what they probably do is at the factory, they have batter and they just pour it into these cans and then they close
the... All right, Adam. Just to be clear, I wasn't... curious about how they made the cake in the can. I was curious as to why they made the cake in the can. See, it just sounds like a really weird thing to, you know, we need cake in a can. It's like, how about if we just had cake in a can and we just like, that's my English accent. Thank you very much. And
I don't know why. There's probably something relating to World War II or, you know, whenever the canning industry happened.
I mean, this is the country that eats beans on toast, like just canned beans on, and they think that's the greatest fucking thing in the world. That's like, I got my beans on toast kind of a thing. That's
Archer
like,
is not sure that I know what custard is. I assure you, Archer.
How about this, Adam?
I know what custard is.
Why don't you prove it? What you should do is you should get yourself a food truck.
Oh, yeah.
That makes like thousands of different kinds of, you could call it Custard's Last Stand. And you could go out and like sell all different kinds of custards and educate people on custard while you're doing that, Adam.
I feel challenged by Archer. I definitely know what custard is. I know what custard is. What most people think of is the stuff that you pour over. It's like a vanilla. I want to like explain it again, but I'm not.
No, you don't need
trust
to.
Me, Archer. I know.
If only Daniel. There was an internet work system of computers by which we could ask that question, and it would give us a definitive
custard is like
answer.
My favorite thing in the world. So of course I know what it is. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Adam.
What's been going on with you? I didn't look at the Trello, but I'm sure you have something to talk about.
Well, all right. So I think I mentioned earlier, I don't remember if this is pre-show, if I mentioned this in the show, but there was a Zoom stream today done by some of the Muppeteers. It was kind of a commemoration of Jim Henson. And they did a couple of hours speaking, just kind of answering questions and speaking and whatnot. It was like Frank Oz, Dave Goals, Bill Bollingsworth, and Fran. Somebody. Anyway, I'm sure I could look it up and tell who they were. But it was really good. It was a couple of hours, and I watched that today. And they were talking as people and remembering Jim Henson. You know, a lot of the questions were about Jim Henson and how it was to work with him and how he got his ideas and stuff like that. And they're, you know, there's normal people, coworkers talking, granted, you know, with really cool jobs. But at the end of it, one of the questions was, you know, can you do one of your voices? Right. So they kind of did a little back and forth with a whole bunch of different voices. And at that time, it was Fran, who does the voice of Prairie Dawn. And so then Frank Oz just breaks out into like Grover and Cookie Monster. And then Dave Goals broke out into Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Gonzo the Great. And it was just really cool just to kind of, you know, see those voices kind of come out there. And I have no point with this other than it was just really cool.
Well,
I really am a huge fan of the Muppets. And that was just really great to watch that stuff.
I love the Muppets. But I will say this. I started watching. So there was like a remake. I don't know if remake is the right word, but they did Dark Crystal on Netflix.
Yeah, it's the movie The Dark Crystal, which is one of Jim Henson's passion projects. It didn't do really well in the theater until much later. And then, they've actually now done a Netflix series. It's his son, Brian, got picked up on that. So it's, yes, the Jim Henson Studios are doing this. I haven't watched it yet. How is it? Is it good?
Well, I love Muppets. Like when I was a kid, okay, first of all, I know it's different than a Muppet, but when I was a kid and I went to a First Assembly of God church, it's a denomination of churches, evangelical, but we would always have what they called a kids crusade. Mm-hmm. I feel a little weird saying kids crusade with porn being strewn in the chat room, but they were kids crusades where they, you know, you'd have an evangelist come and they would, but it was geared towards children. Mm-hmm. So they would always have puppets. And I loved the puppets so much that my dad built me a PVC pipe puppet thing. I don't know what you call it.
Theater, like a little puppet.
We would put it together. It was collapsible.
Yeah.
So I could travel. I could travel with it if I wanted to.
Tell me you went around and traveled and did like puppet shows to like bring people to Jesus. Did you?
I mean, I might.
That would be so awesome.
I might have taken it to my like cousin's house and we had puppet shows or something, but I don't remember. Anyway, and so I would put this thing together. You put a blanket over it.
Yes.
And you get behind it and, you know, you do puppet shows, not the big fatty puppet shows, but like, you know, actual, you know, like, you know, sock puppets or whatever. I had a dummy. Mm-hmm. At one point. Mm-hmm. I had a dummy. Danny O'Day was his name. I mean, that's the name. Oh, I go. You can
like,
probably look it up.
I don't think it's politically correct to call them dummies. It's just like, guy.
He had a little case for him and everything. And I would, anyway, it doesn't matter. So I love puppets, but I watched the Dark Crystal and it was probably really good. But I kept falling asleep. Like I just couldn't get into it. So I only watched maybe four episodes and maybe that wasn't quite halfway through. And I finally just gave up because I kept falling asleep. But I do love puppets.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a fan.
You're a fan of the puppets.
I didn't really enjoy the Dark Crystal.
You know, I think I would want to rewatch the Dark Crystal movie. I know I saw it at the time. Was that the one with Sir Didymus?
Don't ask me. I just remember it was very dark.
Was that?
They
was
had
that was
crystals.
Labyrinth. No, that was Labyrinth.
They had crystals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Skeksis.
They're like
the
walking around these caves.
The yeah, it was.
And yeah, I mean, that's all I know. I remember when we would go to Dallas every summer to see my aunt, they had a big VHS movie collection. Mm-hmm. And so the big thing was to watch movies, and they had Dark Crystal. So we would always end up watching Dark Crystal.
So you had the commemorative movie box for the Dark Crystal. You just
did. They did.
Yeah. I think last time I had talked to you about reality shows, because we both watch reality shows, different ones. I don't think you watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
I do.
Oh, you do. Yeah. So I think the two that I was going to compare and contrast was Survivor and RuPaul's Drag Race, like two of the main reality shows. And I don't want to go on to, you know, this huge end thing, you know, this huge big process thing. But the reason I got to thinking about this was because there was a point during this season where one of the queens went home and there was a huge eruption on the social medias that she was robbed, right? It's like, oh, you know, Jan.
Was that Heidi?
No, it was Jan. You know, it's like, Jan shouldn't have been gone. She was robbed and blah, 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 blah,
blah. Spoiler alert.
And well, that's what I'm saying. This was many episodes ago. So this is not anything like recent.
Anyone who's behind on RuPaul's Drag Race, sorry.
It's been way more than 4 weeks. So that's your fault.
Because Heidi and Jan are both gone.
It's your fault. I wasn't going to say anything about Heidi. That's you. Anyway, but the thing that got me about that is like, so if Jan got robbed, if that's your feeling watching the show, that the wrong person went home, my hypothesis here is that is the fault of the editors, right? It is the editor's job to explain to us what happened during a show and to have us be okay with the outcome of that, right? So it's one of those weird things where it's like the reality competition, because these are both reality competitions, right? Both Drag Race and Survivor. These are things that happen over a very short period of time. Like Survivor's case, it's 39 days. For Drag Race, I think it's like just under 2 months that they're filming these things. And so what you're seeing week after week is actually only a few days after a few days in real time.
Yeah.
And they film everything, right?
Because they're not going to stay there. They're not going to put them up in LA for like 3 months.
Any of these shows,
that it's like week to week,
yeah,
they're not sitting in a hotel room for a week waiting on the next like episode to record.
Correct. And usually these are filmed way in it because that's what the editor's job is, right? Is to say, okay, this is what actually happened, right? This 39-day series of events actually happened. And it is the editor's job to kind of find stories inside of that, to find stories inside of the footage that has happened over the 39 days in order to tell you a compelling story so that it's interesting for you to watch. But the other big thing there is it's the editor's job to like set you up for what's going to happen. I mentioned on the Survivor podcast that there was a quote from Jeff Probst that said, you know what, we start with what happened and then we work backwards from there for an episode. Like it's our job to tell you how that vote happened at tribal council. Like it's okay for the survivors to be blindsided, but if you, the viewer, are blindsided in a bad way, that's the editor's fault. They didn't set you up for that, right? If you feel like the winner of Survivor was, you know, some racist, horrible person, that's because that's their fault for showing you those pieces of them. They know ahead of time who the winner is, so they know not to show you the worst parts of that winner, right? It's like, or to at least show some kind of redemption.
Well, yeah, like
some kind of redemption arc on that.
Survivor, they always, you pretty much know who the two that are on the chopping block are going to be.
Right.
Right.
But you don't know necessarily which one's going to go.
Because they've edited it.
It's amazing after 20 years of that they can still, you know, build up that kind of suspense.
You'd be like,
but here's the point that I'm trying to make, Adam. It's the RuPaul's Drag Race has the worst fucking editors in the history of television. They are so bad at what they do.
That's what they say. I mean, all around the industry.
They are so bad at what they do. That show is popular in spite of them, not because of them. It's like, and I know the other show that I used to be a part of, the RuPaul Drag Race Recap, with Joe Batanz and Taylor, they often talk about the fact that RuPaul, they will tease going out to a commercial something that is a complete lie. Like, I can't believe that you said that. And then they show all the girls going, oh, you know, reacting to this, like there's going to be a fight. Yeah. And then, you know, right after the commercials, you find out, no, that's not even what was said. That comment was said for something else and there was no fight. And it's kind of like, what was the point? What was the point of you setting that up? What was the point of you trying to fool people into thinking that there was some big fight that they're going to find out literally within a few minutes that you're
drama.
Wrong. But it's like, not. It's not drama.
Come back from they want you to come back from the commercial. So they got to have some exciting,
But the competition lie is why you come back. Like, this isn't the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or one of those rambling reality shows where, you know, it has to be drama and it has to be because you won't follow it otherwise. This is a competition, right? Presumably, you're invested as a viewer into who's going to win the competition, who's going to do well in the competition. So that's your reason for coming back, not from some stupid manufactured drama.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. My whole thing is I just always have ones that I hate because there are always some nasty, bitchy ass talking bad about everybody else, thinking their shit don't stink.
But you do know that a lot of them do that and they don't show you those things those are going to be the reason that we don't see Gigi Good in her confessionals saying things that are like, oh my God, she's like, she's a dick, right? It's like the reason you don't see and hear those things if she said them is because she's in the top four, right? She's in the final four. So they want to show you the best side of those final four.
I can only base it off of what I see. I don't know these people in real life. I know it's being edited, but like we're watching season or the third installation of All Stars.
Yes.
The third season of All Stars.
The third series
right now.
Of All Stars. Yes.
The third series of All Stars. And that Milk person is mean.
Right.
I mean, like really mean. Like every single time there's a one-on-one with Milk, she's like dissing people like, well, they're not talented. Well, that was a horrible job
did. And based on what I just said, what does that make you think? Does that make you think that Milk's going to actually be a winner of that?
Well, Milk already got just this episode we watched
that's
earlier
right. You
this
set
afternoon.
Them up. You set, he's like, that's a lot of the bad guys, a lot of the bad edits and stuff
and
are
know,
for, and I don't want to say edits because they actually do say these words, but it's like, you know, a lot of the people that they show you the worst sides of are going to be people that are going to go home because that makes you feel good. As a viewer, that makes you feel good that, yeah, he got his or she got hers. And yeah, I'm glad that they left.
Got hers. Anyway.
All right. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Is I cannot say enough good things about Survivor. And of course, you and I are recording a podcast tomorrow night, the Survivor's Ready podcast, where we're going to talk about the finale of this final season.
By the way, spoiler alert.
Yes. Have you seen it?
You're going to be disappointed.
Oh, I know. I watch it the night that it's on. I already know. I do my own points. I know that I did not win our little contest there. That's fine. But the point is that, but you've seen it. You've seen.
Yeah, because I didn't want to get spoiled.
It was almost 3 hour long finale.
I talked about Jeff's set.
Yes.
You know, all this, all these shows during COVID-19 who, and I think we've talked about this before. I feel like I lost a little bit of respect for all these people who do TV, and us podcasters can put together shows with, you know, I don't know, twigs and berries or whatever we've got laying around the house, right? And we can have fairly good audio. I mean, not the best,
well,
maybe not
like
TV
quality
audio.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, a lot of these shows have just been like, it's like, what are you doing? Like, who is like Ellen, for instance, you know, yes. I said this already, had horrible like audio and video and everything. I'm like, God, I mean, yeah, you're all from home, but they sell audio and video equipment that you can have delivered, you know.
But in her defense, her entire professional career has been other people doing that for her. She never ever, like when you and I do a podcast, we worry about what it sounds like. we check things ahead of time. We make sure that our levels are right. We make sure that, you know, the sound as I reach over to touch this laptop that went to sleep to make sure it's still recording. No, it's like one of those, you know, we test these things ahead of time. We make sure because we're the ones that have to do that, right? So we're hyper aware of those things. It's like when you have someone, you know, that doesn't have to worry about that. Somebody that just is like some of those NPR hosts or the whatever other host, you know, that there's other people pointing at them and doing the audio engineering for them and putting those things together. Then they just, that's not something that they care about or ever even worry about. So, it's one of those things. It's like, that's just not something that she can do. Also, there's this weird thing. Have you ever heard of 10 ear?
Tin ear.
Like somebody that just can't hear. Like some tin ears is a saying that you would give to somebody that just can't hear the difference between different sound qualities. Like Tom Merritt, he runs my favorite daily tech news show called, I know, exciting name,
the Daily Tech News Show.
But he is one of those people, he cannot distinguish between really good sounding audio and really shitty sounding audio, which is why he continues to have people come on as co-hosts that are talking through their laptop microphones and things that I just can't even hear in my car. Like I can hear them now that I'm not driving to work every day, but it's like, you know, when you listen to a podcast on your way to work and you've got road noise, it's like those laptop microphones and people that sound like they're across the room. And I mean, we've all been doing Zoom meetings for the last, 60 days or whatever. So we know how shitty audio sounds, sometimes with your coworkers.
Well, I get compliments from my coworkers.
Well, because you use
how good my audio is.
Because you have podcast quality audio there, Adam.
I have podcast quality. Yeah. And they like my studio look.
Right.
My soundproofing material that's actually doing no good at all because it's behind me.
Yeah.
Well, instead of being from. But anyway, but my point was Jeff Probst, I was really impressed with his backdrop.
Yes. That they sent him to him, yes.
Yeah, they shipped him like an entire tribal council thing.
That's that, yes.
He and his son put it together, mm-hmm. but he didn't have to tell me he was recording in his garage because
the sound was shitty.
His audio sounded like he was recording in his garage.
They sent him cameras and lights and a set, but somehow managed to not send him a lapel mic that could hook into
blankets. Anything. I mean, just do something to like block the echo, right. Anyway, so yes, but so I don't know what we were talking about.
We're talking about different. I don't know, Adam. We're drinking. We don't care. All right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let me ask you this, Adam. Do we have? All right. I know what we have. All right, and it's my fault because I don't have this pulled up. So please distract everybody for just a second, Adam.
Yes, I did watch it and the audio was horrible and I just have lost all respect. The other thing that Mark and I have been doing, we watched The Voice in American Idol and bless those contestants' hearts because they're having to do all of their stuff from home that they would normally be doing on a stage with a live audience. And now they're all performing in their horrible apartments and, all these things. And they're trying their best, like the producers of these shows are trying their best to add little sparkly things over their video to make it look more professional or, use the Zoom backgrounds to add things, and they're horrible. I feel really bad for those people.
I haven't been watching it, but yeah, I would also talk about that. All right, I know where we're going.
I'm so glad to help you get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
It is the Dubious Intent birthday segment, a segment of the show where Adam will give me several musical clues to some celebrities' birthdays, and I, using only my head, brain, and word mouth, will figure out who... Mouth words. Did I say word
mouth words? Yep.
Figure out whose birthday it is, and I will not cheat by looking at the chat room for any help, unless I get stumped, in which case I will totally, totally cheat. Adam, who is our first birthday?
Well, before I do that, Archer in the chat room, who is our favorite heckler... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Says, what are you talking about? We have no idea in the Zoom room. Archer, I just want to point everyone in the Zoom room back to the review of Dubious Intent, in which we were told that we have great chemistry, but the show being about nothing was probably a negative.
In fairness, it was the greatest strength and biggest negative.
So maybe tonight is the biggest weakness. I've been drinking. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit scatterbrained, mm-hmm. but we don't follow we talk about whatever we want to talk about. Also, there is so much porn. I don't know how poke it with a stick is a, for those of you listen who don't know anything about Pride 48, there is a show called Poke It With A Stick.
And what they do is they all get on a big, I don't know, Google Hangouts, Zoom, Skype, whatever. They all get on a call. Whoever wants to join can join. They have a porn theme, and then they chat while people just display all of this porn in the chat room. I don't know how you talk at all. I don't know how they're all not just like, this is not a video podcast, but I don't know how by the end you're not like, you know, just stroking your dick. Like, how are you even having a conversation on a podcast? Anyway, that's all. Because there's some porn being displayed.
So what you're saying then, Adam, is that basically on the Zoom conference that is happening, the one that we left earlier that is still happening during the show, and they're looking at this porn, they're all sitting around stroking their dicks.
They might be.
Okay, great.
I don't know. Christina, are you stroking your dick? That's what I want to know.
I can't wait to get back in there. That'll be great.
Yeah.
You know, Adam, you don't have to look at the porn.
I know. Here's the first one, Daniel.
I am good. I'm ready.
It's going to take it a second.
All right. This is, of course, the theme to The Facts of Life, which is a television show with a lot of, am I going for the artist of this song or the TV show? Someone on the TV show?
It's the TV show.
Someone on the TV.
How would you even know who the artist was?
I wouldn't. And in that case, I would be screwed. So
also, that's not the song that they played on the actual opening of the Facts of Life.
So why did you?
The version, I don't know, because I was quickly looking at YouTube for links, and that's the one that came up.
So don't use that. There's like, you should have used this one, right? You should have used the, where are we at?
Yes.
I don't know.
This one?
It's going to play in a second. I don't know. I have no idea, Adam.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
The facts of life.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That's the one. And, you know, and they... Not the version of that song where they completely ruined the show and brought Cloris Leachman in.
Wow. Those are fighting words. All right,
here's the next one because I know you're not going to get it from that one. So. Now the world
don't move. Do the beat of just one drug. A man is born. He's a man of needs. Anyway, this, by the way, is the theme song to Different Strokes, Adam. Different Strokes. Now, Facts of Life is, of course, a spinoff of Different Strokes.
I don't think I really knew this person was on Different Strokes, to be honest.
So are we talking about Charlotte Ray? Are we talking about Mrs. Garrett, Charlotte Ray?
Oh my God, there's multiple Different Strokes and Facts of Life crossover people?
Yes, Tootie was on both.
Damn it.
Tootie was on
both. I didn't know there were two. It is not Charlotte Ray. No.
It is not Charlotte Ray.
You know, Charlotte Ray's dead, by the way. It's not Charlotte Ray.
Not Charlotte Ray. Okay. Then I don't know. Adam, who is it? Who did I... Let me play my buzzer first here. All right, who was it?
It's Kim Fields. So it
Tootie.
Is Tootie.
It was Tootie. That's Kim Fields.
I love the fact... I know I say this every time we have a Facts of Life part, because first of all, I love that theme song. And I love Mrs. Garrett, which she died a year or two ago, by the way.
Aww.
Yeah, it was really sad. I love it. Kim Fields, who you wouldn't think it, she's 51. 51 years old.
Still younger than Big Fatty.
Well, she always will be. All right, here's the next one. Here we go.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care for the whole world.
Is this Give Me a Break? Is this the theme to Give Me a Break?
It is not.
She was a sister who really could. Isadora was the first bra burner.
All right. Well,
is it the mod?
Are you looking at the chat room?
No. I was waiting for the chorus because
Sorry. Yes, it is the theme to mod. You're correct.
Okay. It's a theme to mod. So that would, of course, be BR.
Do you want one more?
You know that mod is a spinoff of the Jeffersons?
No, I don't think I knew that. But I want to play this other one.
Thank you for being a friend. All right, so that...
Travel down the road and back again.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't sing with your music because it'll be loud on the final recording there. All right, so yeah, she was also one of the Golden Girls. So that was B. Arthur.
Yes, that is correct. B. Arthur, you're going to doo-doo.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I need to give myself a ta-da.
Yeah, B. Arthur is dead. But she would be 98, would she be, had she been alive. Also,
she is dead, but Matthew Burlingame peeps spanking her.
Also, Rose, what's her name? Betty White. She's going to die any day now.
She's not dead.
Any day now, she's going to die. I literally, every day, I'm like, oh my God, Betty White's going to die any day now.
She will live forever.
Because Betty White's got to be around like 97, 98, something like that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
COVID.
So?
She can't live forever.
Yes, she can.
That's gonna be,
yes, she can.
That is going to be a sad day.
I look forward to being entertained, decades from now by the disembodied head of Betty White.
The Golden Girls was so good. Sometimes I watch that.
You know,
on Hulu
I heard another
night.
Podcast talking about how great The Golden Girls was, and I know I watched it the first time around. Like occasionally, I would see it and everything. I was just never really into those shows.
I can quote them.
Okay, great.
Like if you anyway. Maddie and I used to watch Golden Girls every night while we ate dinner, and we would like quote like as they were saying.
Yeah, I will have to. Maybe I'll go try to find. I'm kind of rewatching Cougar Town right now, which I think is a really funny show. But yeah, maybe I'll put that on my list. The Golden Girls.
They need to remake Golden Girls. I don't know who would be the perfect. They need to find the perfect cast, and they need to remake it because they're all dead now except for Betty White.
Maybe Betty White can come in and play the part of Sophia. All right, go ahead. What's our next one? How many birthdays do we have, by the way?
Five.
All right. I think this is the theme to the Colbert Report.
It is.
The theme to, so this must be Stephen Colbert.
It is.
Stephen Colbert. I need a better soundboard.
He's so you don't like that Windows soundboard?
No,
huh?
I don't.
He's 56 years old.
56 years old.
All right.
Still,
here we
still,
go.
By the way, younger than Big Fatty. Go ahead.
Isn't everyone?
No, not everyone. Morgan Freeman is probably older than him. All right, go ahead. Who's my next birthday? Please tell me it's not Morgan Freeman.
The Penguin. I don't know. I can't do it.
That
anyway.
Was your Morgan Freeman. That was your best. You know, I just saw this person. Saw this person in a movie last night.
It's not that person.
Oh, no, no. You know what? I'm going to disagree with you. I bet you it is that person. So here's my question to you, Adam. Do you have another clue?
I have three for this one.
All right. And you know what? I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going for the composer here, aren't I?
No.
Yes, I am. I'm going for the composer.
No, you're not.
All right. So far, those two things have Harrison Ford and John Williams in common. Go ahead. What's next?
They have someone else in common. Okay. Here's the next one. I think you missed this before when I did so. That's not it. Wait, give it a second.
I don't know what that is.
I should have cued this one.
1, 2, 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
All right.
Rock.
This is the theme to American Graffiti. Right, the American Graffiti.
I had a trumpet solo in that song in a marching
band.
So
is it? Is it? What's his name? The man. What's his name? Oh, come on!
It's a man.
Come on,
it's a man.
Owned Star Wars. Lucas. George Lucas. Is it George Lucas?
It is George Lucas.
It is George Lucas. And by the way, I did see him in a movie last night because I watched The Rise of Skywalker, and then I watched the feature-length documentary after it, and it had George Lucas in it.
I'm going to say something controversial.
Okay.
I loved all of the movies with the Ewoks in them. All of them.
Even?
I love the Ewoks.
Even The Rise of Skywalker?
I don't know. But anything with Ewoks in it, I loved it.
So there were two Ewoks at the end of Rise of Skywalker. And they're important because they were actually played by the guy that played Willow and his son. So they put on the costumes there. And also, did you know that John Williams was in The Rise of Skywalker? Now, keep in mind, I am not a Star Wars nerd. I'm a Star Trek nerd. But I did watch the show. But yeah, no, John Williams played a cameo as a person in a bar. That when C-3PO walked through, he gave him like a dirty look and went back to playing with toys or whatever.
Now I'm going to give you a little trivia on that Happy Days or American Graffiti song.
Yes.
It wasn't a trumpet solo. So when I was in junior high, we did a marching band show all on like the 50s or whatever that would have been. Mm-hmm. And Rock Around the Clock was one of the songs that we did. I did not have a trumpet solo, but I had to go in the middle of the field and dance with one of the flag girls. And I had to pick her up and do the thing where you like, I don't know how to describe it in audio, but you like pick them up and their legs go on either side of you.
You had to do like that sock hop dance kind of a thing.
Sock hop dance. I had to do that on a football field in front of who knows how many people. Anyway, was not a trumpet solo, but George Lucas is 76 years old. I mean,
yeah.
It was a high school band, and you know, we had like 40 members, so it didn't sound quite like that.
Did you have to do that? But did you have to go?
I don't remember. Okay. But she was wearing a lovely like poodle skirt or whatever, you know, with an actual poodle on it.
As you do. All right, what's our last? Is this our last?
All right, last one. This kind of has a tie back to RuPaul's Drag Race that I was watching earlier. Okay.
All right, this is what's her name? Jackson, Janet Jackson. That's Rhythm Nation, I think. Is
that your guess?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how this plays into RuPaul's Drag Race, because you know the song at the end of RuPaul's Drag Race was not Janet Jackson.
I don't know whether it was or it wasn't, okay. But that's not related.
Yes, my guess is that's Janet Jackson. Is that Janet Jackson?
I love an uncut dick, by the way. Yes, that was Janet Jackson. Yes.
You know those inside jokes that we have here, honey. It's just always great to just toss out, I love an uncut dick.
There's a post in the chat room. All of you listeners who don't go to the chat room, I mean, normally this is not what the chat room looks like, right. But
now if you go to the new Pride 48 Discord, you know, everything is archived. So it's like you can just scroll up. Just go there, scroll back up, look for what is today? Today is May 16th. Yeah, just scroll up, look for the May 16th, and you can see all the pictures that we are looking at. All right.
Janet Jackson is 54 years old.
54 years young. Oh, Jesus. I should have faded that out, right? Excellent. Adam, I've been jonesing to hear that theme song.
I know.
I'm so excited. we actually have some contact this week.
You've been jonesing so much that we don't even know if this is really contact for Dubious.
We don't even care. We don't even care.
But we're going to start playing contact for other shows.
That's right. We'll just like steal just, other shows' contact just so I can hear the contact theme.
If Big Fatty could send us some voice letters that, you know, he's behind on, you know, we'll play. So to give a little bit of, we're sharing right now the voicemail number from between Geeky Gay, which is my personal journal, boring podcast.
Five days a week. If you want to know what Adam is eating every day.
Every day. Yeah.
Geeky Gay.
Listen to that. GeekyGay.com. Anyway, so what I didn't realize when I said, we can share the number. Is if I get a call from a new person who I don't know them and they don't specify what show it's for,
yes,
I don't know who they're calling. So anyway, here we go. We'll play this one and then we'll see.
Okay.
Hi, this is Alex, a listener in Florida. And in my opinion, I think it's not time to open up stuff to the fact that we don't have a vaccine and the cases of the coronavirus are constantly rising every day, and things are constantly changing. And I just think that it's really not all right to open up beaches, churches, and stuff, in my opinion, because it'll bring a huge population of people there, and that'll add on to the cases of the coronavirus, and that will continue to spread until we have a vaccine. Yeah, bye.
So the chat room is saying that they've already heard this voicemail.
How dare they? No, they're not. Where do you see that in the chat room?
A Big Fatty.
Of course they've already. So I was going to say, because I didn't know which podcast this went to.
Yes.
I'm playing it on both.
Oh.
Also, what I want to say is, Alex, first of all, Alex, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I know you didn't call this show because we didn't talk about when to reopen things, I don't think.
We did talk about coronavirus, on the past two shows. Yeah. I wasn't sure. So what I said was, Alex, please call in again and tell us which show you were calling. He's a new listener. He sounds young, doesn't he?
He does.
I mean, I feel like this is an inside joke again, but we were talking about Sunny D earlier.
Yes. Someone who won't be named at a cocktail party earlier today was, yes.
And, you know, I feel like Alex is of the age where, I don't know, you know, we might entice him with some Sunny D. I don't know that.
Okay. Well, you know what, Alex? Here's the thing. I've been thinking a lot about this whole reopening stuff because it is really confusing out there. With all this information, right? There's a lot of information that gets muddied up, and I constantly have to remind myself, wait, what are we doing again? What are we doing? Because you hear the voices on the extreme right constantly saying, like, well, the Democrats just want to keep everything closed until we have a vaccine. And I don't think anybody in the universe wants to keep everything closed until we have a vaccine. What we want to do is continue to practice social distancing until we have a vaccine, right? The whole point of us staying at home, the whole point of social distancing, the whole point of all of that stuff, and this is something that you just have to keep in somewhere in the back of your mind, unless I'm crazy and missing the point, but the whole point of this is so we don't overwhelm our hospital system. The coronavirus is not a quick in and out kind of a thing. It's not one of those you're going to get it, you're going to be treated in a few days and then you're gone, right? You can tie up, the more severe cases can tie up hospital beds for weeks. And we don't have that many hospital beds that many people can all hit them at once. So that is why we are social distancing. That is why we're trying to keep it. That is the point. The point is to not overwhelm the healthcare system. Reopening things, as long as we're still respecting social distancing and we're keeping an eye on the cases and making sure that we're not overwhelming those hospital beds, then, you know, I think we're all for that. I think we're all at different degrees. Like, there's certainly people on the far right who are, you know, like, screw everything, reopen everything right now. Let's all just get in, you know, this is all a bunch of crap. And the only people that are affected are Black people and old people, and fuck them, right? So let's just go and just let everyone get them. I mean, literally, that's how I feel when they talk. It's like, I think most of us are the mindset of like, okay, well, we're not overwhelming the health system. We did in New York, right? It was overwhelmed. That's why we had like field hospitals in the middle of Central Park, right? We had the hospital ship there. Yeah. It's like, we were overwhelmed there, and they needed to have extra beds brought in order to compensate for that. Excuse me. I had to cough. But I feel like as long as we're not overwhelming the hospital system, which we're not here in Florida, then yeah, we can take baby steps to reopening things. Like, I don't think anyone's advocating, hey, let's just reopen Disney World tomorrow and with nothing changed, and let's just shove 60,000 people together and see what happens.
I want to go on a cruise tomorrow.
Okay, great. You can't do that.
No, not really. So Mark and I were discussing this, and I feel like, I don't know, this is a hard one, because I feel like some people might say this is a conservative view, or, you know, a redneck, southern, ignorant view. But I've started to feel like that there are people out there that can't afford the economic impact that is happening because of things being closed.
Yes.
And so I feel like, you know, I do agree that we need to continue to practice social distancing. We need to wear masks. We need to do whatever we can to try to slow the spread, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think, I do kind of agree that we should start opening things back up. I don't know about Disneyland necessarily.
Yeah, but my point is, who is against that? No one is saying don't open anything up. All the experts, all of the things that I hear, at least, unless I'm just completely missing the mark here, the things I hear are we shouldn't go too fast. We shouldn't. Like, we should open up slowly. And this thing has quite a lead time on it. You got to remember that the deaths that are coming from coronavirus are a lagging indicator, right? The deaths that happen today from coronavirus are people that were infected 3 weeks ago. Like, they were infected 3 weeks ago, and then there was an incubation period, and then they were sick for a couple of weeks, and then they got worse. It's like, so it's one of those things, it's like, that is a lagging indicator. But I think no one is advocating that we just all stay locked inside of our houses. I think what we're saying is you can't just go back to the way everything was. There's going to have to be some changes. There's going to have to be some things that change, because until we have a vaccine, we are at risk of there being a flare-up that would overwhelm our health system.
Can I say something that's totally ignorant and we'll get hate mail?
Well, at least then I can play the contact theme next week. Yes, go ahead. You know, go ahead, Adam.
Because, well, I mean, the way the human race works is, you know, the strong survive. that's
do we have thinking. Any email, Adam?
Let's edit just, that out. Let's edit that out. Just, you know, that's it. Yeah, let's close it down. That was all the contact we got.
I'm just going to jot down that time code there so I can just edit that out later. 105. Yeah, go ahead, Adam. Do we have any email?
No.
All right, there's no email. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you. What was his name?
Alex.
Thank you, Alex. I'm old.
He's new.
I'm old. I don't remember. He's probably was talking to you. He's probably talking to Geeky Gay. Probably wasn't talking to us. Alex, thank you so much.
I can't imagine that I have any new young hot listeners.
Thank you. I love how you just assume that he's young and hot. It's just like, you know, Adam, all of our listeners are hot. All of them.
You can tell a lot from a voice.
You can. Exactly.
You can.
Yeah. That's what people say to us every year at Pride 48, that we would do that thing. They were just like, oh, you're exactly like I pictured you would be. Because I could tell from your voice exactly what you were like, right? That's exactly what people say.
3, 2, 1. News game. It's a news game. It's a news game.
What questions will he ask? It is the time for the Dubious Intent News Game. This is the weekly news game that we play, and you can play along with us if you would like to by going over to the New York Times, searching for the news quiz, and finding this week's news quiz. Adam is going to read me 11 news questions.
How do you know it's 11?
Because it's been 11 for the last, 4 weeks.
Maybe the New York Times did 12 today.
Okay, did they?
No.
Okay. Adam's going to read me the questions from the New York Times, and I am going to answer them. I will try to do so first without relying on the multiple choice. But if I get stumped, I will ask for the 4 choices. And if I get really stumped, I may have to turn to the chat room to get some help.
In the chat room, Nicholas says, thank you, Adam Burns. No hot young listeners. I don't know that I knew that Nicholas was a listener, but I appreciate that Nicholas listens, if that's what he's saying. And he is young and hot.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. All right. Here's our first question. So after 2 White House aides tested positive for the coronavirus, all West Wing employees were ordered to do what?
They were all ordered to...
I feel like that should be a match game question. Anyway.
Yeah, and they were all required to do blank. No, they were all required to wear masks is the actual answer there. But I was trying to come up with some funny thing about, you know, like injecting stem cells or something like that. But Adam, I believe it is they are now all required to wear masks.
Let's check that out. Oh, where's my cursor? Yes! That's great. The White House on Monday ordered all West Wing employees to wear masks at work unless they are sitting at their desks. A shift in policy after a military valet and Katie Miller, the vice president's spokeswoman,
also
tested
what's his
positive.
Name? Miller, Steve Miller's wife.
For the coronavirus last week.
Stephen Miller.
You know, they at my work, they're going to start a slow phased in approach of going back to the office, mm-hmm. but we're all going to have to wear masks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work from home until I don't have to wear a mask anymore.
I mean, haven't gotten our orders yet. We're still, you know, at home until the end of May, and more than likely we'll be at the because we're able to work from home because we're a technology company. Hey, that's what we do. But yeah, if it ever got to masking, it's like I have a mask, a cloth mask, but I thought it would be fun to like get one. You know, like those kids Halloween masks, you know, that are just those cheap plastic, you know, like Thor and whatever mask.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think those count.
I would show up with one of those. Just like, I got my mask on.
I'm not sure if that counts. All right. But I do, if I do, I feel like I need to get one of those more designer masks.
You should talk to Baron Frosty. He's bought most of the supply off of the East Coast, Northeast.
Also, because those doctors type, they're probably not doctors, but the ones that you consider as the doctors type, Mark had bought a box of 150 because when we brush the dog, yes. her hair goes all over the place.
Those are just surgeon masks. Those are not the N95 ones.
They're not comfortable. And I'll tell you this also. If you have bad breath and you're breathing into this mask, you're smelling your own breath.
See, I think that's going to be a positive side effect of this whole thing, Adam, is that people will realize that they need a breath mint.
I told Mark the other day, I was like, why do these masks smell like shit? And then, I was like, oh my God, I was like breathing into my house. I was like, oh my God, my breath smells horrible.
Maybe if you had some breath mints, you'd have sex more often.
I do have breath mints. Anyway. All right, number 2, which city announced a plan to test all of its 11 million residents for the coronavirus in the coming days?
Do
you want multiple choice?
Yeah, I don't feel like this is American because I don't think we have a city that has 11 million people in. So yes, what is our, maybe LA, but I don't think that's, all right, go ahead. What are my choices?
All right, Jakarta, Indonesia, Mumbai, India, Seoul, South Korea, or Wuhan, China.
Oh, it's Wuhan. It's Wuhan.
All right, let's look. Yes, it is.
Yay!
All right, number three. A commonly used measure of the rate of the spread of the coronavirus exceeded a crucial threshold this week in Germany, coinciding with a second major phase of its reopening. That measure or factor is expressed using which letter?
It's the X factor. No, actually it's R, Adam, because what we're going for here is R0. And I believe that the number after it represents the number of people that you would infect. Like, so like an R2 means that for every person infected, they would infect two people for every, you know, blah, blah, blah. So is it R, Adam?
That is correct,
it is
Daniel.
Correct. It is a R.
But yes. It's not R0. It's R0.
Oh, R0. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, represents the number of new infections estimated to stem from a single case. Germany's number rose above 1.0 for several days this week, leading to questions about whether the virus was surging again just as the country continued to reopen.
So I'm one of those hopeless Americans, right? I still call it Z, not Z, and I call it zero, not not. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, all right. After closing its resorts because of the coronavirus pandemic, the Walt Disney Company reopened one of its theme parks on a limited basis in which city?
Shanghai. That was Shanghai Disneyland, Adam. It was open this past week.
Yes, Daniel, that is correct.
They are mandated to only have 25% capacity by the government, but they actually went smaller than that at first. They actually only did like about 10% capacity, and they will ramp it up to the 25% as they go along.
I think... I'm surprised that you and Zach were not on a plane to Shanghai.
Have you, like, immediately? It's not safe to be on a plane right now. It's like, it's like, here's a virus that you can get from people exhaling. You know what would be great? Put yourself in a metal tube where you just have a lot of people exhaling. That would be great.
I don't know if I'm ever going to fly again. I mean, you know, it's like, just, I like, and I like to fly. Coke.
I'm going to come visit you in Arkansas. I'm just going to take a stagecoach from here up there. And
Mark and I are driving everywhere, except you can't really drive across the ocean. So we'll take a boat. All right. A state Supreme Court rejected the extension of a stay-at-home order, a high-profile challenge of the emergency authority of a statewide official during the pandemic. The ruling occurred in which state?
I want to say Wisconsin, but tell me what my choices are.
Georgia, Michigan, Tennessee, or Wisconsin?
It's Wisconsin. It is Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Supreme Court basically said, like, no, we don't like what you said.
Yes, you are correct. Because there were just one too many Karens out there protesting, and
it's just one of those so stupid things. It's just, it's like...
I know that America's like other countries, but I have these misconceptions like, oh, we're safe here, you know, land of the free and the brave, like, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? And you see all this news about all these other countries with, like, people taking guns places and shooting things up and whatever, and I don't know, I never thought of... This is a stupid thing for me to say because we've had mass shootings, but the I think it was Michigan where they actually had to close down their Senate House of Representatives situation.
Yeah, because the protesters were carrying guns and into the
there were death threats and they were carrying guns, and I was like, oh my God. Like, we're having, like, armed conflict now. It's crazy. All
right. My favorite on that, because they have open carry laws in Michigan. And my favorite part of that is a lot of military groups on Facebook are, like, critiquing the pictures. Like, you know, there's all these militia people all standing there with gear, and it's, like, actual military, like, Marines that are going, like...
Oh, you would never hold a gun
like, no, that
way.
Vest no, is, like, you're way saying? Too fat for that vest. That wouldn't cover you at all. And it's just like, and wait, you have this thing, but you took all the weights out of it. You took the 30 pounds of weights out of it. It's just like, you know, this is just for show. And why would you wear your gun that way? That's a stupid way to wear it. And it's like,
I think I'm going to move to... I used to be proud to be an American, but not so much anymore. I think I'm going to move to, like, what's that country that has the really fancy hotel... with the pool on top of
the
it.
The Bahamas.
No, it's... Ed Gong would probably know, because I think it's like...
Dubai?
No, it's really small. Singapore.
Singapore, sure.
Yeah, I think I'm going to move to Singapore.
Singapore. Come to Singapore for our hotel with a swimming pool on top. That's what we're known for. Singapore. Two millennia of history boiled down to a single hotel with a pool.
No, first of all, Singapore is really tiny from what I've been told. Like, really, it's a whole country, but it's like the size of a town.
Just tiny.
Right?
Just tiny.
And there's a huge hotel there. We've watched this Netflix special about, and they have this pool. It's like this, I don't know how many stories it is, but it's giant. I don't know, like 100 stories or something. I mean, I'm making this up. I have no idea, but it's a lot. And there's a pool on top of it, and you get in this pool, and it has an infinity edge. Uh-huh. And
we're just never going to make it through this news quiz. What question number are we on right now, Adam?
Six.
All right, great.
A lawmaker temporarily stepped down as chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee as the Justice Department investigates whether the lawmaker sold hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stocks. Mm-hmm. That's a RuPaul thing.
Got that.
Using non-public information about the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Which senator was it?
He was the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. That would be Richard Burr.
All right, let's actually, I don't know his name, so, but let's look. Yes, indeed. There was some talk about Dianne Feinstein's husband. Is that her?
Yes, Dianne Feinstein's husband, right? Is a stockbroker. Yeah, but there was no, there's no, that's a big nothing burger. There are a couple of Democratic senators that did the same thing with stocks, not to the same egregious level that Burr did, because Burr not only sold off all of his own stock, but then turned around and used the proceeds of selling those stocks to buy stock in companies that made PPE and other things that we were going to need. And then also his brother-in-law magically like sold all of his stocks and turned around, invested in those things.
This guy is a Republican.
By the way, keep in mind, Adam, it's not necessarily even illegal. There's like no federal law that says that a senator can't sell stock based on what they know. And it's one of those.
Well, aren't there just in general generic insider trading laws that if you know something,
but this,
inside
this was not
knowledge
insider,
that other people
insider
would not.
Insider trading has to do with a specific information about a specific company that you have a contract with. Like if the government had a contract with. That they were about to sign a contract with Microsoft for infrastructure or whatever, and then you went out and bought Microsoft stock because you knew that that stock was going to go up, or the converse of that, like you were about to dump Microsoft as your IT people, and then a day before you sold all your Microsoft stock because you knew that they were about to take a hit. So that's insider trading. Well, in this case, he like sold off like all his stock and then turned around. And
if in one of my Walmart all hands meetings, they told us some great thing about Walmart that was going to be released
Look,
the next
Nico
day. Like earnings.
In the chat room has posted the picture of the hotel that you're speaking about.
So Ed Gong, I didn't realize for some reason that Ed Gong lives in Singapore.
Is that
so
him right Gong, there in the pool?
You're going to be my tour guide because I am definitely going to go to Singapore. I'm going to tell you that. If we can ever travel again after this whole COVID thing. So you can be my tour guide.
We will be able to travel once we're done with this news quiz, which will be in about 2 years.
So. I don't know, 2 years, yeah. Because of the pandemic, a public university system in which state became the first... Oh, sorry. Let me start over. Because of the pandemic, a public university system in which state became the first to announce that instruction this fall would take place almost exclusively online.
I want to say that was California, but what are my choices?
California, Florida, New York, or Texas?
Yeah, I'm going to go with California.
It was California.
Excellent.
Now, do you know which state had a university that is not going to do online?
Probably Texas, because they're like really big on reopening.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not, so I can't really say. But I heard on the news that Arizona State has said they're not doing online and they're going to test all of their students or some bullshit.
Okay.
All right.
Number eight.
Which former Trump aide was released from prison this week and granted home confinement because of the pandemic?
He has been reunited with his ostrich skin coat. It would be Paul Manafort.
That is correct. Mr. Manafort, President Trump's former campaign chairman, was released from prison on Wednesday and granted confinement in his home in Northern Virginia. All right.
Here's the fun part about that. Paul Manafort was released, and Michael Flynn, of course, was released after an overturned Justice Department decided to push. Anyway, the point is that, what's his name? His fixer. What's his name? His old fixer guy? The guy that testified against him who's still in prison? Like, he's not getting
Michael
out. Trump is, like, somehow, like, getting all these people out. That
Michael Cohen.
Yeah, Cohen's
Michael
not getting
Flynn.
Out anytime soon. It's just like, Trump, fuck that. He's staying in there.
All right, number nine. The producers of by the way, have you done the thing? Because I didn't even look at the survey.
Yes, I did. It's been done. The deed has been, you know what I haven't done is the other thing, but go ahead.
Okay. Oh, the other thing we do at the
end. I know, but
so
I don't even
I don't
know what it is.
The producers of a Broadway musical announced that it would not reopen once the pandemic eases, making it the first major production to be canceled
in part because of the coronavirus. Which musical was it?
It's Frozen, and it's sad because they just did a Disney Plus episode of the One Day at Disney with the girl that plays Anna in that show. And all the little Elsas came out and did their little thing.
Daniel, yes. Let it go. Let it go.
It is, and it's Frozen.
It is frozen. Yes, it is indeed. All right, number 10, the penultimate question. At least 19 sailors were killed after a ship's missile struck another vessel from the same navy. It was the second apparent friendly fire accident this year involving the military of which country?
I've got a perfect record up to this point, don't I? And
you do? I think you do.
I don't think I know the answer to this. All right, so what are my choices?
Egypt.
Okay.
Which I've always wanted to visit, but I hear you can't if you're gay or like they hate us.
Egypt even have a navy? Like they're not on the water.
I don't know. They're sand. A lot of sand.
Sand navy.
Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Iran. Uh-huh. Or North Korea.
I want to say North Korea just because that would be funny, but no, wait. North Korea is not that. Wait, Kim Jong-un is South Korea, right?
He's a Korea.
He's one of the Koreas.
I don't know.
It's like Chick Korea.
One of the Koreas.
Chick Korea, you know. South Korea, South, North, and Chick. Those are the three Koreas. I don't know, Adam. I'm just going to guess and say North Korea.
No. The incident or the accident involving two Iranian Navy ships occurred last Sunday during a military exercise in the Gulf of Oman, killing at least 19 sailors and wounding 15, the Navy said.
Okay. Well, it was Iran.
All right. Number 11. Number,
the final question, Adam.
It's the final question. Little Richard, the flamboyant rock and roll pioneer, died. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, Adam, he died this past week.
Oh, my, if we only had the celebrity death phone, Daniel, we would know.
Hi, guys. RT Cruiser here.
Little Richard. Yes. No, that's how he would say it. RT Cruiser would say, "Hi guys, RT Cruiser here. Little Richard." That's how he would say it. Anyway, the flamboyant rock and roll pioneer died last Saturday at age 87. Yes. What was the title of his first hit from 1955?
Still younger than Big Fatty. His first 87? Hit was Tutti Frutti on Rudy. Wop Bamaluma. I'm gonna go
Bamboo.
Is that one of my choices?
It is one of the choices. Yeah, you have. You want me to give you the choices? You have Good Golly Miss
Good
Molly.
Good Golly Miss Molly.
You have Long Tall Sally.
I don't think that was
Lucille. Yeah. Lucille wasn't.
No, that wasn't
even
him. That was what's his name that had the guitar.
No, that's Blueberry Hill. But it was the same guy. Anyway, Tutti Frutti is the last.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Lucille. It was.
B.B. King had a guitar named.
B.B. King. Yeah, he died as well. Okay, Tutti Frutti is your answer. Yes, that is correct.
Hooray! That was the news quiz, Adam. How many did
Daniel,
I get?
You got 10 out of 11.
Now, can you say it like Carl Castle? Can you be like,
no.
Okay, great.
I don't know who that is.
Carl Castle from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
That's right. He got 10 out of 11 correct.
10 out of 11 correct.
He has won the prize of having Big Fatty do his answering machine outgoing message.
You got $10,000. So you did better than 75% of those who took the quiz. 16% of quiz takers got the same score as you.
16%. We are a small slice of the pie. All right. Excellent. Well, that was the news game. Thank you very much, Adam, for doing that there. I appreciate that. Now, do you think you would do well on the news quiz if the roles were reversed?
No. No.
Do you not watch news ever?
I used to. Yeah. So, okay. When you and I were doing Dubious Intent before, I was completely apolitical and avoided the news at all cost. Like, I didn't want to know. It was all negative. And then I, you know, around the impeachment stuff, I got really like Trump because Trump is horrible.
Yeah, horrible. Yes, he is.
And so I started really focusing on the news and like listening to, Rachel Maddow and watching what's his name, Cuomo on CNN and like all this stuff. And I got really into politics. So I was watching news a lot, but it was so depressing. And so I've kind of stopped again. Mark watches the news, but I do my best to like stay out of the room.
Yes, yeah, so it's probably that explains a lot. You probably spend a lot of time in your studio, right? Yeah. Instead of in the other room watching TV, which completely explains why right over the shoulder there's that bottle of emergency lube. Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. Give us a call on the voicemail line.
479-221-9393.
Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. Thank you so much.
I was literally reading Twitter.
This is how bored at the show you've gotten. You're just off reading Twitter.
Daniel does this part.
I don't know the phone number. Who the fuck even uses a phone anymore? That's like...
Hey, by the way, everyone who calls that, tell us whether you're calling for Dubious Intent.
Right, and also
not.
Tell us if you're hot, especially if you're young. All right, Adam.
And if you like Sunny D.
I will see you next Saturday, 10 p.m. See you.
Okay.
Good night, David.
I'll see you. Good night. What?
Good night, chat.
You did it wrong. Good night, David.